Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Israel, headlines. Israel threatens to intensify Gaza strikes unless Hamas resumes, quote, genuine negotiations. The strikes began many hours ago, and they are very, very aggressive. The Palestinian Gazans who are living near the border are advised to evacuate the Khan Yunis border and the Gaza City border. So what we're looking at is rubbling the rubble here in search of the reconstitution of Hamas. At the same time, hostages are mentioned. I welcome Jonathan Schanzer, the executive director of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, to help me sort this out. Jonathan, the overall is the hostages have not been returned anywhere close to what was negotiated on before the first ceasefire. Israel has grown to believe that they will not be part of any package coming across because Hamas regards the hostages as their only anchor on reality. That's it. Give up the hostages and give up Hamas. I saw the headline was the negotiation was to be in Cairo. However, the two sides were not talking. Hamas refuses to negotiate in good faith. So this bombing or the drone strikes or whatever is right now the offensive, and the ground troops haven't gotten involved yet. What is its mission? Is it limited, or are they going for the kill shot? Good evening.
Good evening, John. I think it remains to be seen exactly what the Israeli strategy is. I think there is a sense right now that perhaps beginning to bomb Hamas and take out some of its mid-level leaders, taking out some of its rocket launchers and perhaps other military machinery that they brought out into the open, that may be enough to spook Hamas and to perhaps get them to come back to the negotiating table. You recall that we had been sitting somewhere in between phase one and phase two of the hostage deal. Phase one saw the release of a number of Israeli hostages, primarily women, children, elderly, injured. This was the goal for the first phase. Second phase, the Israelis were, I think, less optimistic about getting anything out of it, primarily because they were going to have to agree to end the war, which was not something they were keen to do. So we saw this interim negotiation. Hamas dug in its heels, refusing to release additional hostages in exchange for quiet during the month of Ramadan. With Hamas digging in its heels the way that it has, and with the United States striking the Houthis some 1,200 miles away, I think the Israelis came to the conclusion that this was a good moment to press their advantage. Hamas, Iran, the Houthis, the entire axis has lost steam. As the Trump administration has come back to power, the Israelis are getting the full support that they had hoped for from the Trump administration. They've got the replenished weapons. There was, I think, from the Israeli perspective, no reason not to press the offensive here right now. I think they're hoping they don't have to put boots on the ground. I don't think they want to have a full-blown ground invasion. What they'd like to do is to use these airstrikes as a threat, as an inducement to Hamas to give up the rest of the hostages and to perhaps vacate the Gaza Strip and finally end the war.
The puzzle about Hamas, for some weeks now, we've speculated with some evidence that Hamas is made up of teenagers who are volunteering in to fill the ranks, untrained teenagers. There was an anecdote from the other day, 2 days ago or 3 days ago, three KIA said to be Hamas operatives. They were teenagers who were planting an IED, and a drone took them out. Foolishness on their part, unless the seniors sent them out there to die. I don't know. But in any event, Hamas is fighting with no fighting force. This is not a consistent story we're getting. So what is it that holds the Israelis back? I mean, there's really no resistance. Hamas might think that they fool somebody by taking off the Hamas clothing and putting on a tracksuit, but they fool no one right now.
Look, I think, John, you've got your finger on an important point here, and that is that Hamas is significantly weakened. We estimate right now somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 fighters. And of course, compare that to the beginning of the war. There were some 30, perhaps 35,000 fighters amidst their ranks, many of whom were well-trained, had trained outside of Gaza, went to, you know, Turkey, went to Iran, and they knew how to operate more sophisticated systems. We're not looking at this right now. And so I think there is an open question about whether the Israelis should press the advantage, should go all in, perhaps send a few hundred thousand troops into Gaza, conquer the entire place, including the underground infrastructure, now that the majority of the civilians, the uninvolved, as the Israelis would call them, now that they've been released. If the Israelis do start destroying tunnel infrastructure, yes, they may incur some casualties among the remaining hostages. But just to be clear, there's somewhere between 19 and 21 hostages still alive. And all of them, as I understand it, are men of fighting age, men who are enlisted in the IDF. I think the Israelis understand that this is perhaps a risk that they're willing to take if the upside is the destruction, the complete dismantlement of Hamas. And so I do think that there are some interesting choices ahead for the Israelis and for Hamas. But I think right now it's safe to say that the Israelis are doing this from the air in an attempt to try to save Israeli soldiers' lives and to perhaps convince Hamas that this is the time to finally lay down their arms and to simply give up. It is time for Hamas to surrender. They may not understand that just yet, but I think the Israelis are trying to impress upon them the importance of ending this war before further loss of life is sustained.
The day after, I've heard talk of where to put the Gazans while Gaza Strip is rebuilt or permanently. I've heard talk of Syria. I've heard talk of Sudan. I've heard talk of Somalia. Is there anything to that talk?
I don't think so right now. I do think that it's interesting. Somalia, for example, is a place that I could potentially see, primarily because you're not dealing with some of the Arab sensitivities, John. I mean, one of the things that we have to acknowledge here is that this sclerotic, pathological thinking of the Arab world dating back to the 1948-1949 War of Independence holds that the Palestinians need to remain symbols in their battle for national independence. And so whether it's the Egyptians, whether it's been the Syrians in the past, the Sudanese, they have all insisted that the Palestinians remain where they are, holding the keys to their parents' home, purportedly, or grandparents' homes, or great-grandparents' homes, for that matter, saying that they have a right to return. And so no one within the Arab world is eager to push the Palestinians out or to accept them in foreign territory. So I don't see the Arabs getting on board with this. I think Somalia is interesting. Other parts of the Horn of Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, also possibilities. I think Central Asia is a possibility. I think East Asia is a possibility. Wherever there are Muslim populations that are sympathetic to the Palestinian cause but are not beholden to this backward thinking from the Arab world dating back some eight decades, I think they're the key. But even then, I'm not sure that the Palestinians would willingly relocate so long as they think there's even a shred of a chance of fighting Israel to a tie.
Quickly to the north, Lebanon. There have been IDF strikes the last few days, I understand. Against whom? Who's operating in southern Lebanon? I know it's Hezbollah, but what scale of Hezbollah? They've lost their leadership.
They have lost their leadership, and a lot of their fighters are going unpaid. The strategy of the organization, I think, is astray. The top echelons of Hezbollah don't hold the same kind of respect that Hassan Nasrallah and some of his deputies had once held. Naim Qassem, the head of Hezbollah, really, I think, is turning out to be a rather weak leader. I don't see Hezbollah reconstituting fully the way that I think some have indicated they might. The big question right now, John, is whether the Lebanese government, the Lebanese armed forces, whether they can somehow reassert control to allow the Israelis to redeploy out of southern Lebanon. As we know, they are now in control of five different outposts along the blue line, along this unofficial border. This is not sustainable long term, but the Israelis have vowed to remain there so long as Radwan forces and other Hezbollah forces continue to try to establish military positions. Almost all of them, as soon as they are discovered, are destroyed.
And the airstrikes in Syria, to what end? Are we looking at vagrants from the Islamic Jihad, from Hamas, Hezbollah? In Syria, I know that it's ungoverned space now. Why? What is the target thinking?
My understanding is there have been a handful of militant targets. Palestinian Islamic Jihad has a more significant presence in Syria than it's had in many years. Right. There are some Hamas fighters that are there as well. But the big thing right now for the Israelis is taking out the assets of the former Assad regime. We're talking about military platforms and weapons that Israel doesn't want falling into the wrong hands. So they're keeping southern Syria clear of weapons and fighters that could be used against the Jewish state. This is their strategy right now. And so far, it appears to be working, and the Syrian government has yet to respond.
Jonathan Shanzer is the executive director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. When we come back, Yemen, the Houthis, and what is to be done.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.